sing. Haste, haste to bring him love, the babe, the Son of Mary. What lies he in such mean a state, where ox and ass are feeding? Good Christian, fear for sinners here. The silent word is pleading. Nail's spear shall pierce him through. The cross be borne for me, for you. The babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh. Come, peasant king, to own him. The King of Kings salvation brings. Let loving hearts enthrone him. Raise, raise the Son on high. The Virgin sings her lullaby. Joy, joy, for Christ is born. The
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. And good evening to everyone. Thank you so much for being able to join us for a time of worship to focus on the person and work of Jesus Christ. The goal of this evening is to give him and glory. Tonight the service is designed to consider the glory of the Lord and the glory due him. If you're like me, you get way too busy, and sometimes we miss the things that are right in front of our face that scream out to God's glory and goodness in our life. And this evening, we're going to look at some of those things tonight as we consider the birth of Christ tonight. Tonight, we'll read through the Christmas Nativity story that you're used to hearing on the Charlie Brown Christmas show. It comes from Luke 2. And then we'll break it into four sections, and then between those sections we'll pray. We'll respond in worship to our God this evening. My prayer for tonight is that you will consider and understand more of who Jesus is and his glory. Jesus is like a diamond that has all kinds of facets, and one of them we'll look at tonight is his glory. We are called to give him glory, but also glory radiates from him as he rolls and reigns on high. It's my prayer also tonight as we walk through our service that you'll consider your relationship to this God who's made you, this God who has sent Jesus to die for you, this God who loves his people immensely. As we consider these things, pay attention to the words of the scriptures, the words of the songs, and consider this God who's made everything, has made you, and has sent Christ to die for you. This is an intersection between heaven and earth. And it's my firm conviction that God is in our midst by the power of his Holy Spirit as we exalt him on high. So we'll begin with prayer, and then we'll have the lighting of our Advent candle. But let's pray as we begin. Heavenly Father, it's good to gather here to worship, to think of this person who come from all eternity to enter our time and space to be like one of us, yet without sin. Lord, we pray that our hearts would come to a fuller understanding of the glory of Christ, how there's no one near, close to him in respect and adoration and in awe. Lord, we pray that you would work through us by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would bring comfort and peace to those who are hurting this season, as we've lost friends and loved ones this past year, and Christmas is a little different. Lord, I pray that you would give them the living hope through Christ risen from the dead, that as we wait and long to see them again, that you would fill them with peace, this Christ child who would come to do everything necessary for our salvation and for our eternal life. So Lord, we pray you send your Spirit, that you work in our hearts and our minds this morning, that we would honor Christ in all things. We pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. At this time, we'll have the lighting of our Advent candle with the Krumenacker family.
For the first week of Advent, the prophecy candle was lit to honor those who first spoke the promise of a coming Christ child.
For the second week of Advent, we lit the Bethlehem candle to remember that the Christ child was born in the city of David.
For the third week of Advent, we lit the shepherd's candle in honor of those who were the first to worship Jesus and spread the good news of his birth.
This week, on the fourth week of Advent, we light the angel's candle as a reminder of the praise given to God by the angels and to thank God for his peace and favor for all who accept the Christ child. In the Gospel, according to Luke, we read, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'"
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much for bring your only begotten Son to us. I mean, what a token of great love that was. I don't think anyone has ever seen that or known that, to die for our sins so we can live again with you forever. We thank you for that. And we also thank you for the many great blessings that you have given to us throughout our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Great job. Hear the reading from Luke 2 as we consider the nativity story. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was out of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, to be betrothed, because she was with child. And while they were there, it came time for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it has been told them. Church, let's rise, let's sing, let's worship. O come, all you faithful. Please be seated. Amen. The glory of the Lord is what we'll look at first. From verses 8 and 9 of the text, it said, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear." Jesus, the Messiah, has been born. And where Joseph and Mary are, they believe it was about 2 miles away from where the shepherds were. And for where Joseph and Mary and Jesus are, it's quiet, except for maybe the pounding of their hearts, the tears of joy and love from everything that has happened. Mary has just given birth, and many of you mothers know what that's like. So it's quiet where they are. Jesus has been born. He's been wrapped in swaddling cloths. He's lying in a manger. It's a feeding trough for animals, perhaps made out of wood, perhaps carved out of stone, perhaps just a ditch in the ground. It was a place where animals fed. And now the infinite one, the eternal one, is now an infant, and his throne is a feeding trough. And it's quiet amongst the three of them. But our text says in the same region, probably about 2 miles away, there were shepherds, ordinary people like you and me. They were not priests, they were not rulers, they were not philosophers. They were not the highly educated or the wealthy of society. They were actually the ordinary and outcasts of society. Shepherding was a dirty, smelly job, as you can imagine, caring for sheep. And oftentimes they weren't welcomed to religious services because they were thought of as unclean. For the shepherds, it seemed like an ordinary night. It was quiet. They were keeping watch over their flocks, watching out for the predators. But then all of a sudden, an angel pierced through the night. Kind of like a portal opening in your favorite Marvel movie, where out of another realm, an angel enters our space and time. And the glory of the Lord shone around the angel. R.C. Sproul writes, "On the night Jesus was born, something spectacular took place in the plains of Bethlehem. The plains became a theater for one of the most spectacular sound and light shows in human history." He says, "All heaven broke loose." It's one thing to see an angel, I'm not sure how you would react, but it's another thing to behold the glory of the Lord. It says the glory of the Lord shone around the angel. Typically, when we think of glory, we think of giving God glory, giving doxology, giving him praise, and we are called to do that. But in this instance, it's a little different. It talks about the glory of the Lord shining around the angel, and in Scripture it's called the Shekinah glory. It's the brightness, brilliance of the revealed presence of God in a very real and intimate way. It's radiance, it's brightness, it's splendor. It's God in all his power focused in one area. As Sproul would go on to say, the Shekinah of God is the blazing, revulgent, blinding glory of God. Think of the brightest light that you've ever seen and dared to try to stare at. It's nothing compared to the glory and brightness of God's glory. That's why in the Revelation, when we have the new heavens and the new earth, we don't need the sun anymore, for God and his light is there. And when people in Scripture are exposed to the glory of God, their natural reaction is fear. No one can blame the shepherds, for they rightly understood that they were in the presence of the holy, and they understood that they were not. They understood that they were in the presence of the Almighty God. They realized their own guilt, their own sin, their own fragileness, and they understood that unless this God was merciful, they could be consumed and undone in an instant. It may have been quiet where Mary and Joseph were, but heaven had to burst out into praise at this miracle that had just taken place. The glory of God shone around this angel. We don't sense it much in our lives. I'm not saying that this glory just shows up everywhere, of God's brilliant, bright, revulgent glory. But the Scriptures say that when you look at God's creation, when you go for that walk and you see the things that he's made, it screams the glory of God. I'm not sure if you've sensed it or if you've felt it in the past day, in the past week, in the past month. But when you look at what God created, when you look at those sitting beside you made in the image of God, it screams glory. Psalm 19 talks about the heavens declare the glory of God. That when you look at nature, you see God in his invisible attributes, his eternal power. That you can look at creation and know there's someone who's created these things, who's created you, who's holy, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable and good. Sadly, for many, God's glory is ignored. We suppress it. We want to puff up our own glory. We are consumed with ourselves. We're consumed with TikTok, with Instagram, with Snapchat, with Facebook, with what everyone else is posting and what everybody else thinks about what we posted. We live in an age where we're trapped ourselves in this 2x6 phone. And we're missing and ignoring the glory of God all around us. As God has busted through the night to these shepherds, it's my prayer that he would bust through the darkness of our hearts. We're chasing after frivolous things. I pray to God that would expose us to his presence, to his power, to his holiness, and to his mercy. We would begin to appreciate more and more the meaning of this birth of this Christ child. As God came to the shepherds, it's my prayer that he comes to you. Remember, he comes to the ordinary. He comes to the outcast. He comes to the lost. He comes to the sinner to give them life, to give them peace, to give them joy. Let me pray as we consider these things and then we'll sing. Father, as we begin to think of your glory and the glorious news of you sending your Son, I pray that you would speak to each individual heart here and watching online, where we get so busy, so distracted that we don't see. Or if we do see, we suppress and we want to exalt ourselves. Lord, I pray that we'd all see the glorious, wonderful truth of this holy God who could consume us in an instant, wants to have a relationship with his people, wants to dwell with them for all eternity, wants to expose his creation to the greatest reality in all the universe, his presence and his fullness. Help us to see, help us understand, help us to believe, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. You can remain seated, but we'll sing together, O Come, Emmanuel. of the good news. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you, born this day in the city of David, is a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You'll find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." The angel, a messenger of the Lord, said to the shepherds, "Fear not. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news. Great, great news. Fear not." This is the passage that's quoted by Linus in the Charlie Brown Christmas story. And there's an author that noticed what happened when Linus starts to tell the story about what Christmas is all about. If you're familiar with Linus at all, he's always afraid and he holds on to his blanket to give him comfort. And Lucy, at different times, will try to take the blanket off of Linus, and he always finds a way to get the blanket back. It soothes him of his anxieties and his fears. But as he tells the Christmas story, if you ever watch it again, take notice, Linus will drop the blanket. As he thinks about Jesus and tells the story of Jesus, his fears and his anxieties release. His hope is in the Savior. The angel says, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy. For unto you born this day in the city of David, a Savior." Paul Tripp, he sums it up well. He says, "What is the Christmas story about?" He says, "A willing Savior born to rescue unwilling people from themselves because there's no other way. Jesus was willing to leave the splendor of eternity to come to this broken and groaning world. He was willing to take on human flesh with all its frailty. He was willing to endure an ignominious birth in a stable. He was willing to go through dependency of childhood. He was willing to expose himself to all the hardships of life in a fallen world. He was willing to submit to his own law. He was willing to do his Father's will at every point. He was willing to serve when he deserved to be served. He was willing to be misunderstood and be mistreated. He was willing to endure rejection and gross injustice. He was willing to preach a message that would cause him harm and be crucified. He was willing to suffer public mockery. He was willing to endure physical torture. He was willing to go through the pain of his Father's wrath and rejection. He was willing to die. He was willing to rise and ascend to be our constant advocate. Jesus was willing. He's Savior and no other. It's only him who can bring eternal forgiveness. It's only him who can give eternal life. And why is that? Because he's the Christ. He's Lord. Christ is the Greek word for Messiah. It means anointed one. There's no one in all of human history like Jesus. No one. Don't dare put someone on the same level as Jesus. He's the Godhead sent in flesh. He's the incarnate deity. Abraham is not the Christ. Moses was not the Christ. David was not the Christ. No political or other religious figure comes close to who Christ is. He's the anointed one of God. And this anointed one was born, laying in a manger. Listen how the book of Philippians describes him. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing. He became a servant, being born in the likeness of us, in the likeness of men. Being found in human form, he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted, bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Christ and Lord. No one else. You want to glorify God, then you must glory in His Christ. God sent Him, no one else, to be the Redeemer of your soul. It's good news. God sent a Savior. He didn't have to send anyone, but He sent His one and only Son. He is Christ. He is Lord. Glory in the good news that God loves sinners. Take Jesus by faith. Don't be ashamed of this gospel. Don't be ashamed of Christ crucified, risen from the dead. You proclaim His death till He comes. As the scripture says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, and you will be saved. Fear not. Fear not, sinner. Fear not who feels the conviction of the glory of God around you. Fear not, for He has sent Jesus to be Savior. He is Christ. He is Lord. He calls you to believe and trust. Let me pray. Lord, we hear many things on the news. There's nothing like this news that the angel brought to the shepherds. God has sent a Savior. He's Christ, the Anointed One. He's God in the flesh. He's Lord. There's no other. He came for the lost. He came for the broken. He came for the humble and contrite in heart, who will not glory in their own glory, but glory in Christ in all His perfections and beauty. Help us to understand. Help us to believe. And well up in us that joy of this good news. To walk in joy all the days of our life. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's rise. Let's sing to Jesus. Let's sing joy to the world. The Lord has come. To God for His peace. Our text says, suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Now the angel is joined with a multitude of angels. In the book of Revelation, it speaks of myriads and myriads of angels, meaning 10,000s upon 10,000s around the throne of God, worshiping him anytime, at any moment. Think of stadiums full of angels worshiping around the throne of God. This singular angel is now joined with a multitude praising God, saying, "Glory to God in highest, and peace among those whom he's pleased." Glory to God. Through Jesus, God offers his people who trust in him peace. Jesus himself, before going to the cross, told his disciples, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Peace I leave with you." Peace with God, because Jesus would come and remove the hostility between us and God, as he would absorb the wrath of God for our sins. We can be right before God. We can stand before him because of Jesus. Not only does Jesus absorb the wrath of God on our behalf on the cross, that's what the cross is all about, he gives us a righteousness that we need to stand before God. Our souls are tainted with much sin. If you doubt it, just pretend like you only sin 3 times a day. Multiply that times a week, times a month, however many years you've lived, if it's only 3 times a day. Jesus secures for you a righteousness, a perfect righteousness, given to your account as you trust him as Savior. And Lord, it's the only way you can stand before a God of glory. And it's a gift to you to be received. It's a gift to you to turn from your own glory, to turn from your own idols, and turn and receive this gift of peace. As Paul would write, "We have been justified through faith. Therefore, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ." And not only is it a peace for all eternity in our right standing with God, it's a peace to get you through the everyday mundane things of life, to get you through the trials, to get you through the persecutions, the adversity, the suffering, the afflictions. Through all those things, you can still have a peace about it, because you know God is for you. No one can be against you. You can have peace knowing that this sovereign God who made you is on your side as you receive Christ, that he's sovereign, and no matter what comes your way, he will shepherd you through, and all things will work together for good. Jesus gives and secures a peace that the world can't give you. The world can try all at once to give you peace, but it will fail. It won't last. Nations and political leaders will promise you to give everything you need, but they will fail. All the money and all the education in the world won't bring you a peace on that day you die before God. Only Christ. The world can't offer you lasting peace through alcohol, through drugs, through food, through fame, through wealth, nor power. Nothing, only Christ. This is good news. This is good news for you who believe, who trust. If you're not sure how, there's a wonderful prayer in Philippians 4:4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. Receive the good news of Christ, a Savior. There's Christ the Lord. Rejoice in these things. Know the Lord is right here. He's near. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, give your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. It's always in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. No one else. Not our own strength. In Christ Jesus. It's rejoicing and glorying in him his work on your behalf, giving it all over to him, letting him lead you and guide you all the way. This peace can be yours. You just need to receive Christ. Rest in Christ. Rest on his sovereignty as you rest on your pillow tonight. Rest on his mercies and know the peace of Christ. Let's sing, "Hark the Herald Angels Sing." You can remain seated as we sing. God for Jesus. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. When they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And when all heard it, wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as has been told them. J.C. Ryle writes, he says, "Let us mark the prompt obedience of the shepherds. We see them with no doubts, with no questions, with no hesitation. Strange as improbable as the tidings might seem, they at once acted upon the news. They went to Bethlehem in haste. They found everything exactly it's been told them. Their simple faith received a rich reward. They had the mighty privilege of being the first of all mankind after Mary and Joseph, who saw with believing eyes the newborn Messiah. And they returned glorifying and praising God." It's not enough to hear the story. You must believe. Christmas and all of life is about Jesus. Everything. First to last. Everything was created by Jesus. It was created for him. He holds all things together. He holds your life right now. He went to the cross to redeem his people and creation. And one day he'll return. Christmas and all of life is about glorying in Jesus. It's about his lordship. It's about his love. It's about his sacrifice. It's about his power over the grave. The Old Testament saints longed for his coming. We look back at his accomplishments and we wait for the full consummation of the new heavens and new earth when there will be no more tears, no more death, no more sin, and we will dwell with him in all glory. To glory in Christ, it's not just a once a year thing. It's not a once a week thing. You must see him and follow him as Savior, as Christ, as Lord. You must see him as the greatest treasure in all the universe. And you'll find that nothing else will satisfy like he does. Paul, in the New Testament, he was an outwardly religious person. He had wealth, he had education, he had status, he had reputation, he had everything going for him in the world's eyes. But then he was confronted with the glory of Christ. For Paul, he thought Jesus was nothing. He thought Jesus was a liar. He thought Jesus was a heretic. He thought Jesus was a blasphemer. He wanted anyone who believed in him to be put to death. Then Jesus showed up in all his glory. As he was walking down the road, Jesus showed up. It was a blinding light, the glory of the Lord. And he was forever changed. And this man who had everything according to the world, when he encountered the glory of Christ and recognized his own sin and the gift of righteousness that Jesus had, he would declare in Philippians 3, he says, I count everything else as a loss. Wealth, reputation, status, whatever it is, everything else is a loss compared to the surpassed worth of knowing Christ, my Lord. It says, for him I would suffer the loss of all things. Everything else compared to Christ, rubbish. The word is actually dung. He says, I want to know him. I want to be found in him. I don't want to have a righteousness on my own that I'm depending on, but that which is on faith in the one who's the anointed one, the Savior, the sinless one, and Christ in him alone. When Christ shows up in your life, everything changes. I pray he shows up if he hasn't already in your life. I pray that he exposes all the silly idols that we're chasing after and holding on to, thinking he will bring comfort and lasting peace for all eternity. Because only he can satisfy, only he can deliver, only he can give you peace. We've suppressed the glory of Christ far too long, chasing after silly things. And he offers you everything. He offers you forgiveness. He offers you eternal life. He offers you purpose. He offers you guidance through all the days of your life, all the way to glory. Can you give glory to Jesus? Can you give him praise? Can you give him doxology? As Paul would say, to the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor, glory forever and ever. Amen. We get a picture of the worship in the book of Revelation as the myriads and myriads, 10,000s upon 10,000s of angels are crying out, worthy is Jesus, the Lamb who was slain, to receive power, wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, and blessing. And everything else responds in all creation. To him who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, be blessing, honor, and glory, and might forever and ever. It's always, always about Christ. In the good news, he comes to the lost. He comes for sinners. He comes for people like you and me. May you and I believe as the shepherds believed, live a life glorious. glorifying and praising God for Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray that these truths, Lord, that you would apply them to our hearts and our minds. Lord, as we would go home, as we celebrate tomorrow, that we could get quiet. It's so hard to get quiet anymore. We're afraid of quiet. And talk to the God who loves us. Talk to the God who would send Jesus for us. Talk to the God who offers forgiveness. Talk to the God who is so good when we don't deserve. Bless your people. May we be of all people joy, that we would glory in Christ and share that glory with others. That you would transform us, that we can be apart and be united to this glorious one, Jesus Christ, for all eternity, the greatest treasure in the universe. Help us to believe, help us to believe, help us to believe, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Church, let's rise and sing our two closing songs, O Holy Night, and then we'll light our candles and then sing Silent Night. Let's rise and worship.
start this over again. Sorry.
It's good to be with your people to sing. Thank you for blessing us with your presence, and I pray you fill each soul and heart with your Holy Spirit to understand these things, to believe these things. That we would have hearts and lives that would sing with the angels, that would serve you like the angels, that would just rest in you all the time. Lord, you understand our frailty. You entered this world to become like one of us, yet without sin. You understand our struggles. You understand our temptations. You know we are broken and lost. You came for us. You didn't come for the righteous. You came for the sick. You came for me. You came for all your people all over this world. Lord, give us humble hearts, believing hearts to believe, to be filled with the joy of salvation, knowing Christ and all of his riches, that through him we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Lord, we pray that we would know these things, you would transform us, and we would be a people who are light, that it was in this dark, dark time, that it would be light and you would draw all people to yourself as we exalt Christ crucified, risen from the dead. Bless your people as we exalt you. And in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. May you all have a merry, merry Christmas. You too.